It's 6:39, time for our Monday morning house call from Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Most.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
Well, like everybody else, still sad and depressed about the Steve McMichael story. And I have a couple of questions about ALS. First of all, I think I saw that McMichael's 63. Does this disease usually strike people in that age group?
No, it can really hit, I don't want to say almost any age group, but it really does hit more middle age and later age than it does anyone younger. So certainly he had a couple of risk factors, but yes, if you look at people like Stephen Hawking, hit kind of later in life as well. So,
And as far as any possible connection with the hits you get in football, concussions, is there a link there? Do we know anything about that?
Yeah, there certainly is, and we're still trying to figure out exactly what it is. But NFL football players who have played at least 5 years have a much higher incidence of not only ALS, but chronic traumatic encephalopathy and Alzheimer's. So all three of those neurologic illnesses, we see a big bump up and a large increase in the chance of getting that with football players who have played at least 5 years. So, you know, people, if you look back, Gale Sayers, Dave Duerson, Jim McMahon, you know, each of them had neurologic symptoms that probably are related to their football days.
Let's move on to COVID. And, you know, when we hear these horror stories about what's going on in India, does that concern the medical professionals who are tracking the disease? It's so easy for this to spread, but I guess, you know, India is pretty far away and there's not a lot of travel between the U.S. and India, but there has to be some concern because things are out of control there, right?
Yeah, there's big concern. And, you know, the world's a lot smaller than we all think. And even though India seems to be a long ways away, it's planes, trains, and automobiles, and someone will be here. Probably one of our biggest concerns is when you see spread as happening as quickly as it does there, the increase, the chance of variance goes up dramatically. So that's probably our bigger concern is how are we going to get this under control? You look at India and you feel so sorry. I mean, they're running out of oxygen. They thought they were doing fine. They thought they had this licked, and you can just see how this disease can just ramp back up. And unfortunately, they have extremely low vaccination rates. So some missteps there are really costing the country and the population dearly.
Around here, what do we need to know about the latest guidelines from the CDC about masks, about how we should act when we are vaccinated? Give us the latest on that. And also, there's some new information regarding travel to Europe, I know.
Yeah. You know, so you probably heard Dr. Fauci, you know, talking about masks and then not needing them if you're going to be outside and you're vaccinated. Also, we're looking now, a lot of people coming into summer, are kids going to be able to go to camps? And certainly that CDC recommendation came out saying yes, you know, and they can be within 3 feet, but they should be wearing masks. So you're starting to see them loosen up a little bit. Certainly travel to Europe will be interesting. You know, it's approved, but I'm not sure you're going to have to really watch the countries in Europe to see where they're bursting a little bit and where they're still hitting some hot points. And I'm not sure I would rush over there. But being fully vaccinated, you certainly have much better protection. But I would make sure anybody traveling to Europe does has full vaccination, didn't skip the second shot, and make sure that they have waited the appropriate amount of time before traveling.
It's really troubling to hear the stories about millions of Americans not getting the second doses of their COVID vaccines, and that's a problem, isn't it?
It is, you know, and it is unfortunate, and we're talking millions, somewhere between 5 and 8 million people have decided not to get their second shot. You know, and some of that, I guess, could be part of our fault. We're telling people, you know, you're about 60-70% protected after that first shot. And they say, hey, that might be good enough. And I didn't like the side effects. But people have to understand the side effects of for a day or two of aching and, you know, fever and kind of feeling a little lethargic is a whole heck of a lot better than the side effects from the disease itself. So anything that you can do to maximize your protection, you should do. And that second shot is so important to get you to that 95% protection rate.
And are people more susceptible to these variants if they've only had one shot and not two?
Absolutely. So if you look at something, you know, with the exception, I would say, of Johnson & Johnson, obviously a single-shot vaccine. But when you look at even the AstraZeneca and the Pfizer, even those who are fully vaccinated are not protected at that high rate. So we don't even know what the protection rate is after one to the variants. But we certainly know it's going to be a lot lower than the 60 or 70% that you would get against the initial COVID virus.
And Dr. Kevin Most with us, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central LaPage Hospital. And here's an email for you, Doc. Dr. Most, I love that your answers are down to earth so that listeners can understand the many confusing issues with this COVID-19. I'm going camping with my adult son soon. We've both had our second COVID shot 2 weeks ago. Can we sleep in the same tent or do we need to sleep separately? The CDC just issued some guidelines on summer camp, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. The summer camps for kids. So certainly this situation, both people are fully vaccinated. They can sleep in the same tent, no masks. They are good to go. And it'll be interesting to see, excuse me, how the kids do with camps. You know, they're going to say, hey, wear a mask. You can get within 3 feet, but wear a mask. Except when eating, swimming, and, you know, doing a couple other things. But for the most part, it looks like they're going to loosen up. And, Steve, I just sent Mary Sandberg a note for you guys to be off tomorrow, so hopefully she's not listening. So, yeah.
Appreciate that, Doc. Now, that's a prescription we want. Yeah. And what was I going to say about the camps? I'll think of it in a second. Let me get this other question here. Enjoy the show with Dr. Kevin Most in the very highly unlikely event that my 26-year-old daughter, who received the J&J vaccine a week ago today, has a reaction. What would be the symptoms? I guess the question there is, what would be the symptoms if there's some blood clot problem?
Correct. So, you know, symptoms for blood clot, very similar to what it is with a stroke. So really, a lot of people are getting headaches from this. I shouldn't say a lot. I take that back. Only a very few people are getting this. So the chance of it is very low, but headaches, weakness, lethargy are going to be the biggest things probably. But again, if she's already a week out, she has one more week to go. And kind of interesting on the timing there, I'm not sure where she got that shot because it was stopped for 10 days, but she should really be outside that window now of the 14 days that we've seen. And everyone has to remember that the Johnson & Johnson, it came out to be about two females between the ages of 18 and 49 per million, so a total of, I want to say, 15, got those blood clots. But people who get COVID, 150,000 per million will get a blood clot. So please don't stop and don't be hesitant to get the vaccine because of the chance of a blood clot. You have a much higher chance of getting a blood clot if you get the illness.
And a much higher chance of getting hit by lightning.
Really. Correct.
Yeah. Remember all of that. I know what I was going to ask you. Anything new as far as getting kids vaccinated, children under 16?
Not yet, but certainly the studies that have gone on have been really good. Now, that's early data right now from both Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson on their pediatrics, showing that those between the ages of 6 and 16 have really good coverage. They will be starting a 6 month to 6 years trial probably here in the next couple of weeks. So they're going to actually try to get probably 3 or 4 months data before they say anything else. And then that is probably going to get you really close to the start of the school year. But certainly colleges have taken advantage saying, you know, anybody coming to college, we certainly want you vaccinated. I'm not sure where they'll go with school-age kids, just because I think there will be some hesitancy, but certainly we need that to get to really comfortable herd immunity.
There's a story in the news today about how opening a window could help you avoid COVID. So I gather there is growing evidence that you open a window, you allow air to circulate from the outside, and that can be just as effective as we've heard about restaurants, for example, installing some pretty expensive new air filtration systems. But there's nothing like opening a window, isn't there?
Absolutely. You know, tomorrow's going to be a great day. you know, individuals who have not fully vaccinated yet and are still potentially interacting with people. Certainly being outside, we know, is much safer. So opening the windows, especially if you have family members where a couple of you are vaccinated and a couple of you are not, open the windows, get some air circulation there, and it certainly will decrease the chance.
More emails and texts. If you had COVID but did not have any treatment for it, how long before getting a vaccine do you wait?
Well, once your symptoms are over, we're saying wait about 14 days after symptoms. So if this individual was asymptomatic but found out that they had COVID, they can go ahead and get vaccinated right now. And really, people that need to understand, even though you had COVID and you say, I have natural immunity, I'm not going to get vaccinated, we know that the people that have had COVID and get vaccinated have about 6 to 10 times higher protection. So certainly take advantage of not only your natural immunity, but the immunity that you can get piggybacked in a synergistic way with the vaccine.
We always get this question. If you get an antibody test and it shows that you have the COVID antibody, do you still need to get a shot?
So the answer is yes. If you have the COVID antibodies, that means, and you didn't get vaccinated, that means that you had COVID. We know that those antibodies will wane. You probably remember Tom Hanks' wife, Rita Wilson, was all kind of up in arms when her did a test and her antibody level didn't show. And we have to realize that the antibody level will drop, but the body remembers what to look for. And when it sees that foreign object again, the antibody numbers will go right back up. So we have to pick a number where it's going to be positive or negative, but don't worry about that. And individuals who have been vaccinated say, oh, I want to go get an antibody test. We're not even recommending that because we've already tested this on, 80,000 people that we know that you're going to get an antibody response. So antibody tests are great if you were concerned if you had it in the past, but really they don't add much value beyond that.
Yeah, let's see here. Good morning, Bob. My mom got some typical reactions to the vaccine after her first dose. Is she likely to get symptoms again after her second dose, or not so much since she already got them after the first dose?
I wish it was that. I wish it was, hey, I got my symptoms, I'm done. No, in fact, she may get symptoms that are even a little bit worse. She may be an individual whose immune system really turns on and cranks things up. So she may actually get symptoms that are worse. But please don't tell her to hesitate because of that. After she takes the vaccine, have her take some Advil, lots of fluids, rest. Know that for a day or two she's going to have some bad symptoms. But the reassurance that 14 days later she is so well protected should be the initiative to go ahead and do this.
And heading into the warmer weather, I guess it's pretty much been proven that as far as the virus is concerned, cold weather, hot weather, it doesn't make any difference. Although, obviously, in the warm weather, when we're outside and windows are open, that makes a difference. But that's it, pretty much, isn't it?
100%. You know, being outside and having windows open, air circulation, this is not like a typical influenza, which is a virus that really does better in cold weather because of the way it's encapsulated. This one proved to us through last summer that, hey, we don't really care about, you know, the cold temperature. It's not going to stop us. So decreasing interactions until everyone's fully vaccinated is still a great idea, but being outside is probably just as important.
All right, we're all going to stay outside when it warms up this afternoon and all day tomorrow. Doctor's orders. Thank you, Dr. Kevin Most.
Enjoy your days off tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.